Hallelujah. Wow. What a way to start the year, amen? Let's all stand together. Wow. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Kareem. Wow, what a powerful time of worship. Thank you. We want to welcome you here to Times Square Church. What a joy to see every single one of you. You guys are just amazing to watch from the opening prayers at 9:45. Some of you, I would love for you to make a commitment this year to even joining us, to getting here 15 minutes early. I'm telling you, to hear the prayers go up in this place 15 minutes before every service has been so powerful. And those are watching online, I know you get to join us too. So not only those that are watching here from our Annex Jersey Campus Summit, we also want to thank God for all those watching around the world live with us. We say hello live with us is Kenya and South Africa. We say hello to Ghana, Rwanda, Eswatini. We say hello to Togo, Tanzania, Uganda, Madagascar. We welcome Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Nepal. We're so thankful South Korea is with us, Japan, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and India. We say hello to Qatar and Israel. Israel, we're so happy for you to be part of this. We continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, United Arab Emirates, Turkey, United Kingdom, Germany, Denmark, Ireland, the Netherlands, France, Switzerland, Poland, Finland, Norway, Belgium. We say hello to Portugal, Hungary, Sweden, Austria, Greece. We're also welcoming Russia and Ukraine. In Jesus' name, we're going to believe for a miracle to happen in that war. We are praying for you. Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania, Canada. We say hello to the Navajo Nation, Mexico, Guatemala, Jamaica, Cuba, Trinidad and Tobago, Belize, Panama, Barbados is live, Costa Rica is live, St. Lucia, St. Martin, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Colombia, Suriname, Venezuela, Paraguay. Oh, let's pray for Venezuela. Father, in Jesus' name, we're going to believe for a miracle in that nation right now. God, with all that's happening, there's no accident that they're joining with us. We believe right now for Venezuela. We welcome Paraguay, Guyana, Brazil, Peru, Uruguay, Argentina, Ecuador, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. We say hello to all of you. Some 69 countries, 45 states, and this is my favorite part. We love to say hello to all the universities that are with us. Norfolk State University, University of Delaware, Summit International School of Ministry, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, first time with us, Florida A&M University of Buffalo, Greek Bible College of Athens, and Grand Canyon University. Would you welcome all those that are watching from all over the world? Thank you for all those that have made a commitment this year. It's a four-year journey on chapter by chapter. We're going to go through it. People are just, we're excited to go through it together. Only 1,185 more to go. And so it's going to be exciting. Someone asked me, someone made a comment. We were praying with the choir and someone said, we were wondering how long it was going to take you to go over 7 minutes. And it takes me a little bit, but trust me, in Genesis, I figured it out. So just stay with us as we get ready to go through the entire Bible. How many are committed to go through the whole Bible with us? What a blessing. What a blessing. If you've not tried it, go with us 7 minutes a day. Sometimes 7 minutes a day, but definitely 7 days a week. I believe I have a word from the Lord for you. I believe that God's given me something for you watching around the world, and especially for us right here in New York City. This pulpit has been a lighthouse. This church has been a lighthouse. This pulpit many times has warned of over decades what is ahead and that what we are going to face. We are heading into a storm, folks. When you look all over the world, what happened in Venezuela, what's happening in Israel, Gaza, Russia, Ukraine, all over the world, and even right here in our own city. We need a word from heaven today. And so the first Sunday of 2026 is crucial and critical, and I'm going to give you something that God just, as I was asking, God, how do you want me to navigate this year, even personally? And I feel like I've gotten a navigation chapter that I want to give to you. And I want to talk to you about how I want to give you a concept. I've started praying something that I've started adding to my prayers just recently because of this passage. I want to give you what I think you're going to need into this storm, what I'm going to need. I want to give you highways for the valleys. Highways for the valleys. I want to show you in the scripture that every valley we will face and go through, God will give us a highway for it. That doesn't mean that valley is gone, but he gives us a highway. And listen, let me just tell you something. And some highways mean you get to go faster. I want to go through every valley as fast as I can. Anybody with me on that one? I want to get through every valley. But there's more to it. It's not just the valley. The highway that I'm speaking about is not just to get out of it quick. And that's the part I thought God was giving to you. He says, no. I'm giving you a connection to me, and I'll show you what that means. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, I'm asking you to help me make this principle clear, what you've been speaking to me. It's been new words for me, God, in my prayer life, and it's been life-changing. That God, we will, this church will go through valleys, but I believe that, God, you want highways in these valleys. There's to be highways, and I believe you can do that. We bless you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much at the end. I'm so excited. Next week, filling this pulpit after 5 months is Pastor Carter Conlon. So he will be joining us. I want you to be here, ready to go. Pastor Carter and I were together, and he was recently, and we were speaking together, and he asked this question and answered it for me. He said this. He says, what is God's response when a society will not listen to truth? And he said this. He called it, you're Aquila. That's a word from the Bible. That is the name of a storm in Acts 27. What is God's response when a society will not listen to truth or listen to godly truth? It is your Aquila. To get our attention, God will send a storm that men cannot not navigate by their own politics or even their own worldview. They're going to have to look to heaven. They're going to have to hear from God again. In this storm in Acts 27, God sends a man with a word from heaven on this boat. He was being transported. The Apostle Paul was being transported to Rome for trial. He was not only would go on trial, it is there he will be killed. He will be beheaded for all these years. This man who was the greatest enemy of Christianity has now become the greatest evangelist, is on his way with 276 other prisoners. And he speaks to the leaders on the ship. If you can even see the picture, a man that's dressed in chains is speaking to the professionals, the professional navigators, the professional captains. He is speaking to them, but they disregarded him. Listen to it. Paul began to admonish them. This is the prisoner speaking. And he said to them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than what was being said by the Apostle Paul. That is such a strong line. And I'm just telling you, what Paul was saying was, if you head in this direction, you will face damage and loss. And I want to just say this, that there are places, there are people that are on this kind of boat. I'm just telling you that New York City, the city that we're in, we need a revival. And I'm telling you, we're on a ship right now that will face loss and damage. That where we're at right now, we need a word from heaven. We need God to do this. You may not be from this city, but I'm telling you, we are desperate for God to do something here. And with no warning, the Bible says, this is what happens. They disregarded truth, and this is what happened, verse 14. But before very long, there rushed down from the land a violent wind called Euroquillo. And when the ship was caught in it and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and let ourselves be driven along. Now they're at the mercy of the winds. They're at the mercy of what they have headed into. The winds are controlling it now. They are not in control of the ship. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was abandoned. When they had gone a long time without food, Paul finally stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice. I just love that part. Basically what that means is I told you so. And not to have set sail for Crete and incurred this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong, whom I serve, stood before me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You are going to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you, which means they all get to stay alive because I'm sending you to Rome. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Paul is in a storm, but Paul is connected to heaven. He heard from heaven, and in this storm, though it is raining outside, there's something that is at peace inside of him. How does the church navigate the same storm that the unbelievers are in? How do we sail together, even in our city, experiencing the same storm in the same boat? I have to tell you this, it's not the same way. We are not driven by men's choices, courts, votes, and what people have voted for. We are driven by another thing. We are driven by the Word of God. We are driven by what heaven tells us. Both are on the same boat, but there's a group of people that it says all these words. They've abandoned hope. They're hungry. They're fearful. All these are for them. But I'm telling you, what God wants to give to you and give to me is this very thing: highways for valleys, highways in every valley, a highway that for every valley we go through. What does that mean? I want you to get this down. Let me give you what this means, and then we're going to build on this. Highways for valleys. It's not in place of valleys, but it's a highway for the valley, a highway for the valley. What does this mean? That during my worst moments of life, I can have my best moments with God. Let me say that again, because some of you need to get this. During my worst moments of life, I can have my best moments with God. I can be physically be in a low place, but at the same time, spiritually on higher ground. I went over the last year as we were praying together here and thinking about all that God has done, but even also the valleys that we've went through. And I saw highways in every valley, moments with God in places that seemed godless. Next week, we'll hear from our general overseer, thinking about what we were facing, even as a church and as a ministry, as our general overseer was having extensive open heart surgery and going through that valley. I saw God give a highway for us. I saw God begin to do something special. Ephesians is written from a prison. When you read the book of Ephesians, it is a prison letter. It is written from a dungeon. It's a valley. And yet Paul mentions something over and over again in this book that no other book does. It's the only place in the New Testament these two words are used. Paul mentions these words, heavenly places, 5 times in 6 chapters. He is in prison, but on a highway. He's in a valley, but on a highway called heavenly places. Listen to it. I, Paul, the servant of Christ, am here in jail for your sake, because of you, for preaching that Gentiles are a part of God's house. That's what he says. He says, here's the valley I'm in. I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner for preaching this gospel. But here's what he also says. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we been saved and lifted us up from the grave into glory with Christ, where we sit with him in heavenly places, all because of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. You are there physically. You can be in a place physically that is a valley and a battle, but in a different place spiritually, simultaneously. Highways for valleys means that during my worst moments of life, I can have my best moments with God. It was a few weeks ago, God gave me this and spoke to my heart. Listen to it now. How blessed is the man, this is Psalm 84. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart, it's not a physical place, in whose heart are what? The highways to Zion. Let me read this again. How blessed, fortunate, joyful is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart, not a physical place, are the highways to Zion. Here it comes. Passing through the valley of Baca. That word actually means tears. Some version will say tears. Passing through the valley that literally brings pain and tears. They make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessing. And what they do is this, here it comes. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Folks, this is so powerful. This is God saying, you are moving, you will face those battles, face those tears, face those pains, but hold on. Every valley that you go through, there will be a highway in your heart that will be connected to God in this situation. How do you get that? How do you get that highway in your heart? I kept thinking and praying about this. I kept asking these questions. I just kept going, what is that valley? What is that highway? What is Zion to us? Let me just say those again. What is that valley? What is a highway? And what is Zion? The valley is a depression. It's on our paths. It's when the path starts sinking. It starts going lower. It's where the road gets lower and we face the battles, sometimes physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that all of a sudden we would call it this, that the floor has dropped out. Floor has dropped out on my family as I'm watching children begin to make choices that are bringing nothing but literally sorrow to us. It's when the floor drops out because of a physical and certain numbers signals the doctor for more tests, and all of a sudden, where you have felt no symptoms, all of a sudden the floor drops out. You're on a path, and everything seems normal, and then the depression comes. The bottom falls out. You'll face valleys this year. There's no doubt about it. We all will. There will be those depressions in the ground, that the lower parts of your journey, and that will take you to dark places. Think about this. In the Bible, the Valley of Elah was where David faced Goliath. The Valley of the Shadow of Death in Psalms 23 that David talked about. And the Valley of Dry Bones when Ezekiel was beginning to look at an army that was not yet all put back together. That valley is the trial. It's a battle that we are facing and need God to intervene. We're sitting here and we understand that. Intervention for you could be a miracle to fix it. It could be a strength to go through it. It could be courage to stand in the midst of it. Right words to speak when there could be even consequences. How do you get that miracle, the strength, the courage, the right words? This is the highway that God puts inside of our hearts. It's where my prayer has been for me, for us, both corporately and for me individually and for my family. Because you cannot face a valley unless you have a highway. And the highway, and we understand this in New York City, the highway is the fastest way to our destination. The last thing we want to do is drive through Midtown New York City. That is the last thing we want to do. The highway is this unimpeded road with no stoplights, no stop signs, gets you to your destination the fastest way. Really, when he talks about a highway to Zion, he's not talking stop and go. He's saying, you can be going through a valley and we want to get you to God as fast as we can. What is the fastest way to get to God as you're going through those valley of tears? Because I want to personally build a highway in the valley. And what is Zion? Think about it. What is a highway to Zion? To the Jews, it was a geographical place. It was the city of David. In fact, it occurs 150 times in the Bible. It's the journey to them. It was the journey to the presence of God, to the tabernacle and to the temple. The New Testament, though, tells us that this Mount Zion is something much different for us. I want to read it to you. Listen to Hebrews 12. You've come to Mount Zion. He's speaking to us, New Testament, the city where the living God resides. The invisible Jerusalem is populated by throngs of festive angels and Christian citizens. He's talking about heavenly places. It is the city where God is judged with judgments that make us just. You've come to Jesus, who presents us with a new covenant, a fresh charter from God, and he is the mediator of this new covenant. He's not talking about a place. He's talking about a person. Let me just remind you of this, if you don't see it. And 1 Peter does it, 1 Peter 2:6. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Not church, not religion, in him. And if you want any more specifics, this precious value, next verse, then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, that's the stone which the builders rejected became the very cornerstone. Zion is the presence of God. Zion is Jesus. Zion is when we find ourselves at the lowest place, but are making a beeline to Jesus. Zion in the valley is when the floor drops out physically, mentally, spiritually, and we feel like there's no help. And all of a sudden, God's people don't, they may physically be here, but spiritually, I'm finding my stability in Jesus himself. It is a cry to the church not to stay low, but to get high in heavenly places. It's a cry to the church, don't find a physical place or don't think that a person is gonna fix you. Get to the presence of God himself. That's what Zion is. That's what it's in our hearts that we say, I know what I'm going through. As you're sitting before a doctor, you can hear the report coming from him, but your heart is already in heavenly places. Your heart, your spirit is there. As all of a sudden it seems that a marriage is unraveling, but my heart is going to trust in God. In the land of the living, I am going to look to God. Zion is the presence of God. I was looking over my calendar and just Cindy was reminding how these last 2 months, how packed they were with ministry, with no regrets. And somebody who is not a Christian was asking me over the holidays, they said, how did you do it? Like, you did South Korea, the podcast, preaching, leading. You're doing all these different services. Then they said this. This is where they don't understand Zion, the highway. They said, are you on a special diet? Do you do melatonin? How do you do this? So I can know how to do it myself. And it's this. I have a highway. I have a highway to Zion that no matter what we go through, I find myself up higher in God. That's where it comes. The highway to Zion is the fastest, unimpeded way to the presence of God. It's unhindered, unrestricted. The fastest way not to stay there, not to dwell on people's comments, not to dwell on the offense that they brought to you, not to dwell on the sharp words and to stay in bitterness. But this heart goes, I know that our relationship has hit a valley. It's low. But I'm going to tell you, that's not where I'm going to live. I'm going to take a highway out of this thing. That though right now there may be friction here, I know there's no friction that way. I'll be in his presence. The first three verses of Psalm 84 tell you what David is thinking about when he speaks about this highway to Zion. Listen to these phrases. Verse 1, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, even yearns for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird also found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Listen to this, folks. What David is thinking about when he talks about Zion is a dwelling place, the courts of the Lord, a house, it's a rest, it's an altar, their strength. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. How does that happen? How do you turn tears into a place that feeds you, that refreshes you? The early rain also covers it with blessing. And folks, here it comes. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. There's a new report out on this, of what is happening even now in the United States. It's reporting that now it is the current largest drop, even in the world, of U.S. adults that a religion is no longer important in their life. They said that 66% of U.S. adults said religion is not even a part of their life, not even important to them anymore. They said that is now dropped, that ranks among the largest has recorded in any country over a 10-year period since almost 20 years ago. How does this happen? They ride on boats. People ride on boats into storms with no highways in their hearts. They ride on boats with no highways. That there are going to be millions of New Yorkers that are on a boat called New York City that are riding into a storm. And if you don't have a highway to God, I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. What you'll do is you go not from strength to strength, but from strength to doubt, strength to unbelief. When God intended us to go from strength to getting stronger every time, when you find those valleys, those depression moments come to your life, this is where the highway has to come. This is where, while everybody is talking this way, you've got to find yourself talking this way. Who, when you go through valleys without a highway and your spirit man has nothing in connection with God, don't miss this, then your body will respond. And this is where I've watched people get sick, their body break down, their mind become inundated with dark thoughts. A valley without a highway will wreak destruction on you mentally and physically. The only thing that has kept me in these last 5 years, and I couldn't define it until 2 weeks ago, is I kept myself always connected to God. No matter what we have gone through, I said, you can keep talking this way, but I'm gonna start talking this way, because that's where I want. I wanna get to the courts of God. I wanna get to the altar. I want to go from strength to strength. Keep these thoughts in your heart. You can be in a valley and a highway at the same time. Many even believers go through valleys without the highway. That brings depression and hopelessness. But can I tell you this? Every day, and this is what I want to finish with. I want to give you just a quick list here. Every day I'm working on this highway. Every day. What? When you're driving, we rented a car this week to our family did. So we rented a car. When you're driving, when you see orange cones and orange signs on those roads, what does that mean? Construction and slow down. Like it, all of a sudden, everything slows down at that point. Road repairs, construction. So here's what I want to do today, just for a moment. I want to throw down some construction cones to pave this highway for you. Because some of you have gone through valleys this last year with no highway. You have gone through deep depression moments with no highway to God. You've constantly spoke to people, you've spoke to things, and what you think is, if this person could just turn, if this person could be nice to me, if this person could treat me well, I know I'll be, no. God doesn't want you simply to get this right. He needs for you to stay connected to him. He needs you. Because what we can't do is wait on situations and people to fix itself when God wants to give us the peace and the strength. I am telling you, there are some valleys that are extended. There are some valleys that have gone on for months in my life, even years. But every single time I'm getting, God, give me the highway to heaven. Give me a highway to Zion. Don't cut me off at this point. So I want to give you some orange construction cones so we can get this down. So if you can just for a moment, in these next few moments, slow down and let's pave this highway. Here it comes. Number one, we need a hunger for the word of God. That is good pavement, a hunger for the word. This is so important for us. If you start reading the Bible, I promise you, you will never get enough of the Bible. If you start reading his word, it will never be enough. You will cultivate a voracious appetite. Start with one chapter a day. Start, maybe the podcast will help you, that challenges you to read one chapter a day, then to pray about what you've just read. Listen to 1 Peter. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word, for this milk will cause you to grow into maturity, fully nourished and strong for life, especially now that you've had a taste of the goodness of God and experienced his kindness. He says, when you get saved, when you become born again, your milk is the Bible. That's what he says. When you have experienced God's kindness, you are an infant in Christ, something inside of you should cry for milk, should cry for this book. Folks, I'm telling you, I saw it. I saw it in my wife when Cindy got saved. She was reading this Bible 3 hours a day. She just couldn't get enough of this word. If you're born again and you're not, if you don't have a hunger for this word, you've got at that moment take some inventory. So one of the first signs that when God is in your life, you want his word. You want him speaking to you. Folks, they say people don't take their health seriously or go to the doctor until there's a health scare. Don't wait for a health scare. Don't wait for a valley. Start now paving that highway. I'm telling you, this is what gets you close to God. Because when I'm in my valleys, I start quoting this. This connects me to God himself and connects me to heaven. Number two, jot this down. We need a revived faith that prayer works, that God answers prayer. I got a text just a week ago. This church has been praying for... You don't know her maiden name, but we've been praying for Debbie Wilkerson. That is David Wilkerson, our founders, his daughter. That family has battled cancer. They've told me that this could be public, and this church has prayed that God would heal it. And when you get a death sentence, a valley that says you have pancreatic cancer, people look at this and go, this is the death sentence. It's just an issue of how long you have left. But folks, I'm telling you, we are seeing a revived faith that God answers prayer. I believe when you pray for people, they can get healed. They can be healed. I got this text. They said this. They said, we've just received a great report from the doctor about my mom. They've been using chemo. They said the chemo has worked. There's no sign of growth. The doctors feel confident with continued treatment. They will keep it from spreading, and she has a number of years left on her life. Thank God. Whether it's by miracle or God uses a Dr. Luke or Dr. Jesus, I believe in miracles today. I do. We start noon prayer meeting on February 11th. Our first 3 days of prayer and fasting are January 25th through 28th. Don't treat that with contempt. Understand that prayer works. Ask God to revive you for that. Ask God to revive you. Number three, we need a desire for God to baptize us with the fire of the Holy Ghost every single day. Some of you, I believe this. This is what I've been praying. Some of you, I've been praying that God fill you with the Holy Spirit in your apartment, in your car, on the subway. I'm praying that God will fill you during worship. You're gonna sense fire coming down from heaven. You're not gonna need a person, but you're gonna have a highway. When you ask God every day, baptize me in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, folks, that is a highway to heaven. Because you are praying what God's desire is for everyone that's here. Number four, an urgency to share the gospel despite the consequences. I think of the early church's fiercest enemy, the Apostle Paul. Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, becomes the church's greatest evangelist. He is fearless. His journeys are marked with shipwrecks, hardship, beating, stoning, and imprisonment. But this man won't shut up about Jesus. He's on a ship in Acts 27 that we read, about to face ruthless anti-Christian Nero. He's gonna stand in Nero's court and refuses to bow to honor Nero as Lord, because they call Caesar's Lord. He is imprisoned in the Mamertine dungeon, a dark cell under the city, and he is writing letters of hope to the church that we still read and find encouragement today. He is witnessing to the guards and the prisoners. He's looking at guards that he is chained to and saying, oh, that's a good lesson. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, church. Folks, you need a shield of faith. And I could just see that Roman guard going, oh my goodness, would this guy ever shut up? They would go ahead. Paul, can you imagine? Because they would go on rotations every certain number of hours. You'd have to be chained to the prisoner. Can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul? You're reading the list and you're going, oh, I got Paul. And he never is quiet about Jesus. Paul is in prison. He is going to be beheaded and writing letters. He is sentenced to die, but encouraging people as he is walking to his execution. He is forced to kneel, and in a moment, they are gonna take this man's head off for preaching the gospel for over a decade. And folks, when this world took his life, he was in the presence of God. The very thing he's longed for, despite the consequences, he would not be quiet. We will enter a storm that this city, this people, everything around us, around the world, that if you mention anything, they will try to silence you. We will not be quiet about Jesus as the only way. We will not not be quiet, that God loves the nation of Israel, and God will begin to see a revival take place. We will not be quiet that God has done in people's lives, and we will say every single time, it is not essential oils, it's not working out, it's not naps or diet. It's Jesus that has set us free. We will not back down despite the consequences. How come? I've got a highway in the valley. I am going to God even though the floor drops out. Number five, a renewed fire for the church again. People have become so bitter with the church and have sabotaged their growth. You're staying at home when God wants you to be part of a local body, a local church, the people of God. Enough is enough. That's why it leads me really to this second point. You can put these together: an unwavering love for those you hate and dislike. Forgive fast. Let me say that again. Forgive fast. Refuse bitterness and refuse to be offended. We are told too many times that before we even, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, before you offer your gift and you know that there's aught between you and your brother, go back and fix it. Whether they want it or not, at least you know in your heart you've done what you're supposed to do. Number seven, I want us as a church to have a reset on the value of money. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? You're going like, oh, he's gonna take an offering. No, just listen for a second. This is why I hate the church. God has provided in such uncommon and miraculous ways this year. Folks, I'm telling you, we are that marquee. I'll give you all the updates in 2 weeks. I'll give you all the updates of what's happening. I'm telling you, we've watched God provide in miraculous ways from people. And Elder Jerry and I were talking about this. One of the greatest provisions that we saw, I said, I want a copy of this to carry around. This is, of all that God has done, this is probably the best of the year. The best of the year. It has nothing to do with amount. I don't see every week who's giving this. I don't know any of you. I don't trust myself to know you, to know what you give. I don't want to know. I trust my heart. But this one I wanted to know about. And let me just tell you this. This is a tithe and offering from Texas Department of Criminal Justice. This is a tithe and offering. I'm holding a copy of the check in my hand from a man on death row who sent in $200. Death row. You want to get a value of money? Be where that man is at. And you realize to yourself, nothing else matters. That really the most valuable thing I can have, who cares? I've watched people have money block that highway to God because it's mine. I'm not doing, I've worked hard. Let it go, it belongs to God. Enough on money, because I don't want you to get upset. Finally, musicians come. Finally, a non-negotiable obedience in our Christian life, non-negotiable. That if God speaks it, we're gonna obey. I'm telling you, this is the highway. I get a letter this week I wanna read to you. This non-negotiable obedience happened a couple months ago. He said, this is written across the country in California. I needed the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life this past Sunday, so I chose to stream Times Square Church. I feel like my local church has lost its way. This has nothing to do with we're better. I'm just reading what he said. He said, I've watched us get so caught up with politics and the world that we've been distracted. You mentioned a lukewarmness within the church. Your sermon could not have been more timely for me because I was feeling that this was happening. You challenged us with sacrifice, faith, and conviction. You challenged the local church and the rest who are listening. Then when was the last time you sacrificed over comfort? You sacrificed instead of it being about you. You said, God, if you say it, non-negotiable obedience. And he said, you challenged us to express our faith. So this is what he said. He said, as you're speaking, this is a man in California. The Holy Spirit told me to sacrifice by getting on an airplane the very next day and fly to New York from California. and to be there when Nikki Cruz would speak a couple months ago. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I knew I had to do what God was telling me to do. I wouldn't miss another opportunity that God was speaking to me. And he said, I couldn't believe how easy it was. I went online, I booked the flight, I showed up in New York, heard Nikki Cruz. That changed my family's life many, many years ago. When I was young, I saw the movie, The Cross and the Switchblade, here in California. The movie built my faith. But whatever, God, I started to realize God can deliver us from satanic bondage. I don't know what has kept me apart for so long, but today I'm here to live out that sermon by offering a sacrifice. Faith that God would bring me here without a glitch. Conviction that tonight God is doing things in heaven and on earth because of the ministry of Times Square Church. Thank you for listening to the Lord. Never give up. God has anointed Times Square Church. This man got on a plane because God spoke to him. He said, I'm living in, I want you to listen, those that are watching online. He just said, God spoke and said, get on a plane and get here for the Tuesday night service to hear Nikki Cruz. It's non-negotiable obedience. And folks, I'm telling you, when you're in those valleys, I'm just telling you, I don't want there to be ever a blockage on that highway to Zion. Highways for valleys simply means during my worst moments of life, I can have my best moments with God. Valleys without highways will crush your spirit. The highway that we need is hope. The highway we need is to go from strength to strength. Let me read this to you. I want you to stand with me. I want to read this to you. And then I want to read the same passage in a paraphrase. And it just simply says this. How enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord? Within their hearts are the highways of holiness. Even when their paths wind through dark valleys of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives them a brook of blessing filled with the rain of outpouring, and they grow stronger and stronger with every step forward, and the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. I love that. I love the part that says that even when their paths wind through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep. They dig deep. Make no mistake, balcony, main floor, London and Lima, Cuba, Barbados, Grenada, Russia and Ukraine, you singers and choir, you are going to face valleys this year. The ground, the floor is gonna drop. You're gonna hit that. And there will be tears. It's gonna happen. It could be intense, or it could be quick. You know, it could be anything from, oh, he broke up with me. It could be that. And the floor could get even worse. It can even go lower. And you've got to find that highway. You've got to find that highway. And God makes it available. Every valley, I can't face a valley unless I have that highway to God. I want that unimpeded, unrestricted connection to who he is. I'm gonna ask you to do something. I thought I saw Mama May up there. Was she up there? Mama May. Yeah, help her down. Come. I don't know, you're gonna probably be offended that I've said help her down, but help her down. But remember, forgive fast. Come on down here. Elder Vicky, grab, you have a mic and get one for her. Come get her down here. I know she's already shaking her head. There was a song we used to sing here many, many decades ago. And it just simply says, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's. How many have ever heard that song before? Where's that? Do we have a mic for her? Give her a mic. Elder Vicky, you come too. I want us to get this right, and I don't trust myself. Come on, Mama May. Come on, Elder Vicky. You're going to help me with this song. We're going to be a trio today. You know, you're up here. Come on up here. Ha. Are you on that highway?
Yes, I am.
Are you on that highway? Listen, you guys have seen those valleys come. I know both of your lives, but you have stayed on that highway to heaven. That's why you're able to sing like you do.
Didn't have no choice.
You had no choice. You had no choice. We're going to teach you a song today, and you got to get it right. You ready? Come on, come on. It's a highway to heaven. Help me like this. Here we go.
Highway to heaven. None can walk up there.
It happened on December 31st. That's okay. God will give a highway for every valley. What is it? That is the moment that is the unrestricted, the fastest way is to get right to God. That's where we want to go. We want to remove. How do we remove it? We forgive fast. We hunger for the word. We have a renewed faith that prayer works. We begin to love the house of God again. All those things, non-negotiable obedience. We begin to go, God, we will not be afraid despite consequences. We will share the gospel. We will tell people. We will tell people that it is Jesus. I'm just telling you, folks, Those are the things that begin. That's, we're just sitting down. I just wanted to set down some orange cones for you. I'm on that highway. How many are with me? You're going, I'm getting, come on, lift those hands to him right now. Father, on this day, we're going to begin to believe that God, you are going to begin to start us. We know battles will come. We know valleys will come. But God, those highways, I think, are going to be, in a sense, have to be chosen. And we choose today a highway to Zion, where the cornerstone is Jesus. He is the cornerstone. And on this day, Lord God, we begin to trust you that when those valleys come, we will find that highway and get right to the presence of God. So God, we choose today to believe that. We believe that today. Could you put your hands down for a second? Let me just tell you this. You can't make it unless you have a connect with God. You just can't. And the most important thing you can do, that first highway, is that highway of salvation. It's to say, God, I want you in my life. God brought you here today. It'll just take a moment. Here it is what I'm going to say. God brought you here today, but you have been away from God. Maybe you've never trusted your life to him today. I'm not asking you to come to a church. I'm asking you to trust your heart in Jesus. Let him change you. If you're here today, balcony, main floor, watching from Jersey campus, Summit, any country, any state around the country and around the world, if you're going, Pastor Tim, the first thing I need is I need a highway back to God. I need God in my life. If that's you, you can keep your heads up, eyes open. You don't have to bow your head. You're just going, I need God in my life. I need God in my life. If that's you, would you hold up your hand and say, pray for me. I need God in my life. Hold it up. Yes. Anybody else? Keep them up. Yes. Got you. Yes. 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 All the way in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Balcony, hold them up. I want to make sure I see it. Yes. 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 Thank you. Listen, I want to pray for you right now. Let me pray for you. Father, these hands that have gone up in the annex, in this room here, the other campuses, Lord God, around the country and around the world, let them find their place in God today. Come on, let's all say this together. Everybody say this with me. Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life. Change me from the inside out. You've died for my sins. You've resurrected from the dead. You're coming again for me. But while I'm here, I need you. Every valley I go through, I need a highway. Every good place I'm in, I want people to know that it is God that has helped me. God who is in me and God who has protected me. We will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Can we leave singing this chorus one more time? We're going to count this as your dismissal as they sing this song. The folks, the curtain will start to go down. Our prayer teams will come up here. But I want you to look at someone and say, I've got a highway. I'm leaving in Midtown, but I'm going on a highway. Come on. Let's sing this while we leave and the curtain comes down.